Ooh.
Okay. All right.
Do you want to do it? Okay. All right.
Oh. Is that what you were saying? Oh, that you want to do it?
No. Okay. Let's just do it. Okay.
Yeah.
He wants to do it.
He does.
Okay. Three, Who two, doesn't? One. Who the hell's voice is that? Hey, guys, it's Julian here from Tights and Fights. And I just want to tell you guys to please, 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 if you're listening to us on your phone right now, go over to the podcasting app and review us and rate us 5 stars. Or you can even do what Last Dead Mouse said. I'm glad that the Last Dead Mouse was kind enough to leave us this. They say this is a funny and insightful show that they listen to every week. That easy. Leave a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. Now enjoy it.
So proud of you.
Yeah.
Tights and Fights Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Podcast with wrestling discussion. How two dudes who aren't in the studio often. Welcome to Tights and Fights.
Gosh, with apologies to Joan Jett.
With apologies, with great tribute. Joan, that was for you. I hope you hear it and love it. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm podcasting's worst kept secret, Hal Lublin. And I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the less of the millennials, the oft-seen but unheard Julian Burrell. You're here.
Oh, my God.
And not just to turn the light bulbs on.
Oh, my God. You guys have no idea how hard I tried to not be in the studio having to do the episode this week.
I just want to break down because you're in the studio so infrequently. You're wearing a NASA shirt.
Yeah.
And your glasses.
Yeah.
And your jeans and your shoes. And it looks like your first day of school. You look nervous. You'll be great. I know you're used to the other side of the glass, but it's even better in here.
God,
just wait.
So scary. I have a deep phobia of microphones and I'm getting over to be in here, just so you know.
It loves you. You know what? It's more scared of you than you are of it. That's just true of all microphones. I'm also joined by the leader of the Dez movement, Dez Delgadillo.
Yes, yes. I'm glad to be a part of this Julian taking over, my friends.
Yeah, it's happening finally. It was Julian all along. So now that we've finally gotten the Elimination Chamber of Doom out of the way, the WrestleMania picture is getting a little bit more clear. Starting with our likely WrestleMania main event, Roman Reigns will face Universal Champion Brock Lesnar.
What?
I know,
Roman
it's a
Reigns?
Shock. This what? Is... Here's the thing. And I know I watched Julian bang his head against the brick wall of Twitter for several hours with somebody who's like, these guys hate Roman Reigns. Yeah. They only diss Roman Reigns, which is not true.
Yeah, what was even better was that somebody else followed that up with, why do you guys always just say that New Japan is better than WWE? Which, that makes no sense. That blew my mind that someone could listen to one episode and think that we think that at all, but... I don't think we hate Roman Reigns here.
No.
I don't. He's not really my bag, but he's not, I don't hate the guy. He's fine.
I think he's great.
Yeah,
I think
you're a huge fan of him.
I'm a huge fan of his because he does what he's supposed to do in the ring, and now they're finally letting him talk as himself instead of heavily scripting him, and I think that helps. At this point, the people who are booing feel like they're behind the curve. Dez, where are you on Roman Reigns right now?
I think he's really fun to watch in the ring. Like, he's just him being a powerhouse and throwing dudes around. But I think when he talks, it comes off very inauthentic, and I think that's because they were scripting him for so long, and now that they're finally going in a more, I guess we should kind of sit back and let Roman be, you know, a good performer, I think he's starting to come through a little bit more. But I don't know. I just think it's a little too late now to get fans to like Roman. I mean, they're trying everything.
Yeah. But what's interesting is that on our Facebook group, we actually have a lot of people who just got into wrestling in the last couple of years or even, hell, the last couple of months. And it occurs to me that people that weren't there for that whole Royal Rumble debacle of like...
It's a dumb explanation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, but he thinks, Roman Reigns is taking Daniel Bryan's spot and they're forcing us to like him. They don't understand what the hatred is at all.
Shout out to these people on the Facebook group. They're like, wait, they hate Roman because he's not the general manager of SmackDown?
Yeah, right. He's the general manager of all of our hearts.
That's right. That's right. Roman also called his shot against Lesnar the next night on Raw after the champ no-showed. Here's a clip.
I mean, think about it, y'all. Think about it. We are
think
6
about
weeks
it, y'all.
From WrestleMania, and the Universal Champion is not here today.
I don't respect Brock Lesnar, and I damn sure don't fear that bitch.
See, here's the thing that's been bothering me about Roman's couple of promos, and this isn't for anybody who thinks we hate him. This isn't like we could say this about anyone. There's things wrong with him, just like there's things wrong with just about every wrestler.
Sure.
Whenever he's out there, he really relies on the word bitch a lot.
Yes, he does.
Like, he really loves just like, it's like, John Cena, you ain't nothing but a fake bitch. And then he'll pause and wait for the crowd to react. Yeah, you're a fake bitch. And then it's just, come on, man. Like, meh.
Yeah, he's like John Cena. Like, they all, like, remember John Cena when he was in his heyday, would ramp up and he would always ramp up to that final phrase of kicking your ass.
Yeah.
And Roman Reigns, I think, is doing that with his own naughty word now in bitch.
Every superstar, especially like their Mount Rushmore, has to have one curse word that is theirs and theirs alone.
Hell yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Nobody's allowed to say hell anymore. They have to say H-E double hockey sticks, which is why they don't use it. It's very awkward at a pro wrestling promo. But of course, Roman wasn't the only one who punched his WrestleMania ticket in the chamber on Sunday. Alexa Bliss won the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber of Secrets match. So the Royal Rumble, this was my favorite Royal Rumble in like 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Same.
Men's Royal Rumble was great, and I think the Women's Rumble was better. I think that pushed the men. It created competition. There's no WCW anymore. Mm-hmm. So you can't have WWE trying to... There's nobody for them to talk.
Yeah, dual-branded Elimination Chamber pay-per-views would be awful for two different companies.
I mean, yeah, that would be a nightmare. However, now they have women who are finally getting the time that they deserve and are fantastic and put on great matches. And I think that's where the internal competition, it's not Raw versus SmackDown. It's men and women topping each other in matches. And then hopefully, maybe we will get intergender matches. But I love the story that the Elimination Chamber told the Women's Chamber. I thought it was full of great moments. The right person went over, and they went over the right way. And everybody had their moment. Sonya Deville looked like a killer.
Jeez, for how little, wasn't she she was the second person eliminated, I think, after Mandy Rose. But yeah, they did a great job. I thought sometimes with these themed pay-per-views where it's built around one gimmick, it just kind of gets exhausting of like, okay, like, all right, we got to see this two versions of the Hell in a Cell. We got to see two versions of this. But they've actually both times now done a really good job of making two variations on the match seem really unique from each other. Like, I liked how in the men's it was like, no one really got eliminated until Braun started to go on his tear, right? And with the women's match, it was a little bit more progressive with people getting eliminated throughout. But yeah, Des, what did you think?
Yeah, I preferred the women's chamber just in terms of the story it told.
Yeah,
I thought it was a lot better designed, a lot better laid out. But the men's chamber was a lot of fun just because Braun killed everyone, and I'm a big fan of Braun. Like when Braun came in and he was like with the Wyatt family, I was like, who is this guy? And I could not get into him when he was just killing dudes for the first 10 years when they went to Raw exclusive.
Right.
But now he's like my favorite guy. And that was a fun thing to watch.
Yeah.
When you give a wrestler a chance to show their personality and see what develops out of it.
Yeah.
Then you have to give them a character and then see what they do with it. And he made the most of his time apart.
And I'll say one more thing about Braun, and then we'll go on to some of the other things that happened in the Women's Elimination Chamber.
I love that you're producing while you're hosting. Sorry. This is great.
I'm cutting this entire conversation in my head as we're having it. But
3, 2, 1.
But it was just kind of a bummer to me that that Braun, as great as he's gotten, as popular as he's gotten, he's never really allowed to be the end game. He's sort of always an obstacle to someone's endgame.
Right.
And that's kind of a result of Brock Lesnar has to be the ultimate final boss, and Braun Strowman is the boss before you get to the final boss, who's guarding the Chamber of Secrets or whatever, where all this is going to go down. So it's kind of a bummer for Braun Strowman's career that he hasn't quite gotten to ascend as high as I think he should, but maybe once Roman gets that title, maybe that'll change next year in 2018, and that could be his year.
Not to name drop, but I was interviewing Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
Oh, really?
At Pensacon. Was he jealous of Mike Gensley and Kat and Steve and the whole group?
Was Nash at all jealous of Braun's naturally brown hair, so he doesn't have to buy Just for Men to get his
color
back?
No, he's gray now. He's like full gray and doesn't care. And
I'm glad he's embraced it.
By the way, they were really nice, as was Amy Dumas, who now follows me on Twitter.
Hey.
Hello, Amy. Probably not listening to this, but one of the things I asked them, I asked Nash and Hall, was, do you think that the title makes the wrestler or the wrestler makes the title? And he was like, Nash said, you know, I showed up, I saw that I was going to win, and that's sort of what it was. Outside of that, it's the job is the job. And Braun is a top guy right now.
Sure.
So whether he has the title or not is more for us as fans.
Yeah.
You know, it almost gives you a reason to continue to root for that person because you think they deserve something that they're not getting.
Rey Mysterio, up until he actually did win it in 2006, like, that was my guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this guy's never going to be the world champion, is he?
And now you hate him for his success.
So maybe we should just savor this moment of wanting more for Braun, for our dear Braun Strowman before we get like, oh, God, when's he going to drop the title already?
It feels weird talking about Sasha without Danielle here, but it feels like there was a major development.
Oh, sorry, wait, I hear her now because we just said Sasha's name.
Oh, yeah, she's appeared. If you say it three times into a mirror, Danielle appears in the room.
Okay, we got to be careful then. Nobody say it one more time.
We have to be careful. She's busy. Monday, you have Bailey swerving Sasha. Does this make you more interested in their match, and do you think turning Bailey heel was the right move because she needed a character refresh?
Well, I'm not positive that Bailey's going to play heel full time. Yeah. I think that what they've kind of been consistent about is every time they've paired up Sasha and Bailey is that Sasha brings something out in Bailey in that she feels like she can't just be the nice girl whenever she's with Sasha anymore. There's like a limit that she pushes her to. And I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of getting on board with it. I do think that they were a little lackadaisical with how they built them up. I'm sure injuries played a part in that, but I'm down for this match. I can't poo-poo a one-on-one women's match at WrestleMania that's not for the title. Like, when the hell was the last time that happened, right? You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I can't hate on that too much.
It's pretty great that we are even having this conversation about a feud that they did for a while that then went away but then has come back.
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't happen or wouldn't have happened 10 years, certainly not 10 years ago, maybe not even 5 years ago or 4 years ago.
Yeah. Gee, fellas, how do you feel about this women's story that's had twists and turns and builds and peaks and falls and it's everything. It's a really well-done story.
And not one pillow fight. What are we even doing anymore?
No lingerie, no pudding, no swimming pools.
Yeah.
Just no wrestling good housekeeping. And characters. No good housekeeping.
Oh, God.
let's talk about a final note from the women of Raw. Ronda Rousey has at last signed her WWE contract, and boy, did she ever try to cut a promo. Here's a clip.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for my hero, Roddy Ryder Piper.
Rodney Piper.
That's no respect.
Most of all, I want to earn your respect in this ring.
You know, I gotta say, it blew my damn mind that people were so on board with her. I could not believe all those Ronda Rousey chants she was getting out there. Like, people really seemed ready to embrace her.
She was real. She came out and cried because they were chanting her name, and that's been a dream of hers for a long time.
Yeah, but it's just like...
Still a better promo than Scott Steiner.
But it's just like, I hate ducks. That's what she needed to do when she went out there. But like, it's just like everybody saw the reaction that she was getting on Twitter of just like, what the hell she like. And they were even saying it like when they were leading up to her coming out for her contract signing. They were like, Ronda Rousey came out, kind of stole Asuka's moment. But I got to say, I was really surprised that her star power has translated over to the fake sports that she is now residing in.
Yeah, I thought it was scary because when you're a real fighter and then you lose twice, usually you lose a lot of your luster to like this kind of crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And obviously that didn't happen with Brock Lesnar. And now we know it didn't happen with Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. And if Punk comes back, we know it won't happen with him.
I don't know, man. That was different. That was a slaughter.
And that was his first foray. He's had no success
sure.
in MMA.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
That's true,
yeah.
too.
There is excitement to see somebody come from another sport to try their hand at wrestling. And she's ready made for it.
Yeah.
And that she has the blessing of Roddy Piper. She's got to work on her promos. I mean, I'm sure she's doing a lot of physical work. And when she goes into that sort of death stare, that angry stare, it looks really good and it's frightening.
And the only thing that wasn't so great was we'll have to see how the story plays out, but that dialogue they had Kurt Angle say of like, hey, Triple H, weren't you just saying the other day that you think she's dumb and she doesn't deserve to be here? And I'm like, oh, come on now, really? Like,
when did he become your grandpa at Thanksgiving? Who just says, hey, grandson, I found those Playboys under your mattress. Should you stick together? Are you on board with a match with where they're going, which is Angle and Rousey versus Triple H and McMahon? Is that the right way to bring Rousey in without exposing how little experience she has in big matches?
That makes sense to me because she's going to be with Kurt and Triple H, who are very competent in the ring, and Stephanie, who, I mean, she knows her way around, I guess would be the best way to put it. She's been in a few. Right?
Yeah.
Plus, I hope they just focus more on the fact that, look, these are two Olympic heroes, you know, working together to fight these evil rulers of the WWE.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that and honestly, with everybody saying, oh, they're going to make her the female Brock Lesnar, I think, if anything, they're kind of making Ronda Rousey so far the anti-Brock Lesnar, wherein Brock is a super entitled dude who's just here for the money and because he's good at it, and Ronda's like, I don't really know if I'm good at it, and I just want a chance to prove it. And she should probably renounce all that, like, transphobic stuff that she said back in the past. And maybe if she wants to get over with a pretty big sect of the audience, I think that would go a long way, even if she does it in like a private statement, like, you know, on Twitter or something. That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
Do you think she will?
I know, but no. I think that she should.
Right. Sure. Yeah. There's always a difference between should and will.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Let's talk about John Cena.
Yeah.
Called his shot to face The Undertaker. Then he was told that match isn't happening. We all know that if it's said out loud, that it's likely a swerve and The Undertaker will show up probably at Fastlane. Cena can still have good matches. It feels like this year was the year that there was a little bit of a drop-off there, especially towards end of the summer on.
Yeah. That Roman match should have been a lot better.
Yeah. We know where Undertaker is right now.
Yeah.
And he has a new hip, so that may help. He's had some surgery.
Mm-hmm.
How much hope do you have for a match like this? Would it have been better to let it lie? Or is it worth it just to see the spectacle of the two of them in the ring?
I feel like they've been doing this every year for, like, even when the streak was still a thing, they've been doing, like, well, if Undertaker wanted to retire, that's a pretty decent way for him to go out. Like, after he beat Shawn Michaels the second time, pretty good way to go out. Second time he beat Triple H, yeah, okay, decent way to go out. End of the era match, beating Punk, all that stuff. Like, there were beats where they said, if we need to go ahead and call it a career with him, we can. I'm really scared that, you know, like the Roman match, it's just going to be like, oh, God, Undertaker's so old and he can't do anything cool anymore like he used to be able to. And I would rather see Undertaker go out with a win. It'd still be fun to see it, even if Cena has to lose.
I think they're going to make it a retirement match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that because first of all, I want to preface this. I think I'm the only person I know who loves the storyline that they're doing right now with John Cena, where he's this guy who's been on top for so long, like this athlete who's been on top and had the world handed to him, and now he's seeing that they're a threat to him because he keeps losing.
Yeah, I love it.
I love
it's great.
It.
I do too. They figured out something new to do with him, which is not having him win all the time.
Yeah, he was just watching that like Tom versus Time documentary where they were following Tom Brady around, and now he saw Tom Brady lose to Philadelphia. You know, when he was like on the ground and after that interception, just wondering, oh my God, what have I become? Am I not who I used to be? And I think he was like, that would make a hell of a story. I could be Tom Brady.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Julian, wait, are you saying that the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52 by a score
like
of 41-33?
I had to bring that up because I know you're like Danielle would never lob you that softball, so I decided to go ahead and give you that.
Do you want to talk about Tua Tagovailoa?
I just got done thinking about him and, you know, drawing
you're never far from my thoughts.
Drawing little hearts around his name in my notebook every day, but you know.
Well, we just scratched each other's championship backs. So Cena beats AJ Styles as part of the storyline on SmackDown to head into Fastlane and make it a six-pack challenge.
Jesus H. Christ.
Great match.
Good.
At this point, is Styles doing all the work? I mean,
I think that they both bring out a lot of really great things in each other. Like, I think that there are a few people who I was always like, oh, John Cena and this person just work so well together. It was like Punk was like that. Edge was like that. Daniel Bryan was like that. And those are indie guys. But I honestly don't think that Punk ever had better matches with anyone than he had with John Cena either. I don't really think that AJ has had better matches with anyone other than John Cena either so far. Maybe Roman is a close second. But
Kevin Owens, too.
Everything with like with Cena, it always just felt like that, like, oh my God. And then, so I think that they're two people who are, we need a great match for this show. Let's just bring Cena and AJ together. And I think it's always going to work at this point.
That's how it felt to me. It's like they announced it at the very beginning of the show. Yeah. This is your main event. Right away, it's like, yeah, this is going to be a really good match. That said, I'm so tired of this. I'm going to hit you with my move, then you kick out of it. Then I hit you with, you hit me with your move,
yeah.
Then you kick out of that.
Right.
I have to sit there, and I don't believe any of the roll-ups or any of the near falls because nobody's done their move yet.
Yeah, it's that's not unfair. It's true that, you know, it's like the old, what are you going to do next, pull out a gun and shoot him type of thing. So I guess it's like, John, you just look at Cena's matches whenever he goes back, and I keep calling Cena John, like he's my buddy. My buddy John, if you just go back and look at his matches. But if you just go back and look at his matches against, like, the indie heroes, he fell in love with that style of near fall, super AA, kick out, you know, counter into this, counter into that. He just loves that style, so it's like one of those, like... And if you can take it or leave it, and where you lie on that is just going to depend on your sensibilities, I guess.
It's tough because it's executed well, but it lacks surprise. There's no element of surprise. Now, Dez, you were there at the Staples Center. We've been not crapping on SmackDown, but SmackDown has been an inferior product to Raw so far in 2018. I don't think I'm speaking out of school to say that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the atmosphere like at their live taping?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty quiet. I thought for a minute that I was at the Tokyo Dome.
Oh, wow.
People were respectfully watching.
Yeah, people
polite
were.
Polite golf claps.
There were,
time.
Yeah, polite golf claps.
That's a New Japan reference? That's my favorite.
Yeah, nothing is good like New Japan.
Yeah. Certainly not SmackDown tapings.
Yeah.
Does Breezango still get a pop?
They got like a very mild reaction. They had like a Fashion Files segment.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's so sad.
Yeah, like nothing. I think the only things that really got big reactions were Jinder Mahal at the end. He just got booed. It felt nuclear to me. Nothing that was actually on the show got a reaction like Jinder, but I think it was just like, oh my God, we just sat through 205 Live and now we have to watch Jinder Heat as opposed to, oh my God, it's Jinder Heat.
Well, but, good for you, Jinder.
Yeah.
They don't know the difference.
Reaction's a reaction. Like, yeah, they just hear the noise.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let's go back to Raw for a second. It looks like The Miz might have a date with both Finn Balor and Seth Rollins at Mania for the IC title.
I wrote U.S. title.
You wrote
here.
The U.S. title because they see, well, yeah. Who is the U.S. champion right now?
Oh God, Bobby Roode, right?
Is it?
Yeah,
yeah
it is.
Isn't it bad
Roode.
That I don't know who it is?
Yeah, who cares about that stupid belt?
Nobody cares.
They're not. It's not going to be on Mania, I'll tell you that much.
The one that looks like a home plate.
Yeah. Oh, and this actually reminds me that I had an idea that I shared regarding The Miz on Twitter, at Tights Fights, which was, what if after Miz goes to Mania and has an Intercontinental Championship match, which he should. I think the last time he did was like a pre-show triple threat with Wade Barrett where he won it and lost it the next night on Raw.
Yeah.
Like I've said it before, he's the best IC champion of his generation, and I don't think there's a close second.
Sure.
So he does deserve to defend that title at WrestleMania. But what if and when he loses that belt, he kind of goes from A-lister Miz to Hollywood reject Miz, where he like starts wearing like a torn suit, like he becomes like he becomes that idiot who like, oh yeah, you used to do movies back in the day, but then you started taking your art too seriously and then made some bad decisions with your money, and he stopped shaving, his hair is all disheveled and everything. I think that would be an interesting character turn for him to maintain his heeldom while still taking it in a Miz in a different direction as a character.
It could even turn him into a sympathetic character if you do it long enough and do it right.
Make
him, because the last time he was a babyface, oh my God.
That was bad, wasn't it?
Oh
God.
Yeah.
Bad news.
That was the peak. Really? Really? Oh God.
I'm excited to see him too. I think he and Balor and Rollins will have a really fun match together.
Yeah. On paper, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does. Yes. I'm really excited for that. Although, I feel bad for Miz. I mean, this dude lost twice on Monday. He had to wrestle in two consecutive matches. What was it, like 40 minutes? More than 40 minutes in the ring?
That wasn't fair.
If he had a petition, I would sign it. Like, that is not fair. That is not just.
Yeah.
Head to change.org right now. This is a petition.
Justice for Miz. Use the hashtag justice for Miz.
Do it, please.
Yeah. Let's also take a look at the Raw tag scene. Quotes. Sheamus and Cesaro beat Titus Brand twice this week, pretty definitively both times. So now we're in a situation where both the club and the Revival would need to be heated up to get those guys new challengers. Only problem is, I guess the club their faces now because they're associated with Finn Balor.
Yeah.
But the Revival has just, I feel like they're scared that somebody on the Revival is going to get hurt again.
The club, I still think the crowd is getting more on board with. I think that pairing them up with Finn did a lot to kind of raise their stock and get people excited again. Yeah. And with Revival, I think that, you know, if they could give them some more televised win and help them, like, maybe just throw a couple more Shatter Machines up there, maybe they'd get them back to the point where everybody's singing along with Say Yeah, or, excuse me, Say Yeah!
There it is.
Ooh, there it is.
I felt that right in my bones.
Proud Southern person ready to fight.
Des, do you think SmackDown's in the same place now where they've gone back to the New Day Usos well? That even seems like a scene where there are more viable tag options that they've just dropped the ball with.
Yeah, the SmackDown one, I can't even think of other. You have the Usos and the New Day, and then you have, I guess, what, the Bludgeon Brothers would be the next hottest team?
Has to be.
Bludge Bros.
Yeah. Oh, and you do have Gable and Benjamin, but they just lost like a couple of losers, so.
couple of losing people they are.
Losing, not winning folks.
And the Colognes are still on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
I remember them.
Like, can't we repackage them for the 8th time?
Yeah,
make
right.
them something.
Let's end the news on a positive note for once.
Yay.
Goodness, all the doom and gloom on this show. Des,
you know what I love, guys? New Japan. Okay.
Yeah, so I just want to talk about how great New Japan is.
Compared to everything else, it's so great.
How excited I am for season 80 of Lucha. I'm really excited when they start filming. They already started. They're done. Okay, great. No, Des, you've been keeping up with the revitalized 205 Live. And Julian, you said you watched it this week as well. So I want to hear from both of you because I've not been watching. What have you enjoyed from the product so far? Why should people tune in if they've tuned out previously?
If you were a fan of what the Cruiserweight Classic was, which is, I think, what really attracted people to the Cruiserweight product, and when they went on Raw, everyone was immediately like, oh, this is not what I wanted to see. And then 205 Live, even more that. So I think now the whole change is the show has a direction now.
Yeah.
And that's, like, direction goes such a long way to make this worth watching. Plus, you're bringing in other guys who aren't usually on 205 Live, so you've got a Roderick Strong on there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a Buddy Murphy on there.
Tyler Bate was on there for one match.
Yeah,
and
Mark Andrews is on there. So you really changed it up. Now there's a direction. There's not that silly, like those silly storylines with Alicia Fox.
Okay.
And I think most importantly of all, Drake Maverick.
Yeah, it is. As someone who was not familiar at all with Rockstar Spud, I've really liked his presence on the show. I've liked the matches so far. I didn't like TJP at all on my screen. I'm just so done with him and his stupid dabbing face every time he goes out there. I'm sick of it. But, you know, still great matches. And I feel like people who maybe tuned out after the Cruiserweight Classic, this is the time to come back and have some fun again. The one thing that's kind of like scaring me, I feel like it's like the sword of Damocles hanging over this really great show that we have right now, is that once they reward that championship, they have to kind of go back to creating a different dynamic for the TV show every week. Like, so, and so it's kind of like, are they going to fall into the same trap? I really hope not.
I think they are the kind of show that would really benefit from a ranking system.
Yes.
Yes.
I was just thinking that.
That's true. Yeah. You're totally right. They really should do something like that.
Instead of a stupid top 10 on SmackDown, did they even mention the top 10 this week?
No, they didn't. After Orton shit all over it, I'm like, well, that's great. Thanks for telling everybody to not get into this thing at all. Perfect.
That one Viper focus group killed it. Hey, if you have any thoughts on 205 Live or the rest of the week in wrestling, keep the conversation going at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, we'll talk about what's going right and wrong in today's wrestling commentary. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
In a world dominated by dude bro movie podcasts, a world where Casey Affleck has an Oscar and Angela Bassett does not, only one podcast is brave enough to call bullshit. Who shot ya?
with Ricky Carmona.
A lot of people don't know Porgs, Puerto Rican.
Alonzo Duralde.
I would eat Oakjaw.
April Wolf.
I want to interrupt and say yes. The fish man was real sexy.
Drea Clark.
I have a real soft spot for King Kong.
And women of color.
I was like, damn!
Ryan Coogler got final cut.
Coogler got final cut!
I just felt like the film was so sour and so completely irrelevant to basically anything in life.
Who shot ya? Listen every Friday on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined in the booth by
Julian Burrell
and
Dez Delgadillo.
Every week we like to give something from the world of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock! Whoa!
Oh! Still makes me smile.
Oh, yeah. That scream is forever.
That's
it's
the
like
best.
A diamond. Commentary is one of the most important parts of wrestling. Ooh, wrestlers provide the music. The commentators provide the lyrics.
Yeah, and every lyric, by God!
but he could be considered, he's certainly arguably the greatest commentator in wrestling history.
Yeah.
Arguably.
Yeah.
What makes a great commentator? What is it about him? What are the aspects of him that make him so good? I know we make fun of the bug out and all those things,
yeah.
But he builds excitement for the match.
Yeah.
He tells us why we should care.
Yeah. I think that probably the biggest thing, and this probably speaks to the fact that we've got three-person, four-person, five-person,
yeah.
God, so many people in that damn booth every single week now.
Right.
That you guys remember when Mauro Ranallo was there and Tom Phillips was like the host of it and he was still sitting at the tables. So it would be four people who opened up the show and Mauro would just talk to the camera and then not talk for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Phillips would do that. And it was just the dumbest thing in the world. But anyway, I think that like a good commentator is someone, in addition to, you know, telling the story of the match, keeping things real for everybody who's watching, I think that what's important is also hearing that the person who's talking is having fun with it. Like, that's something that I think Mauro does really well today, and that's something JR always did really, really well, was the idea that I can't believe what I'm seeing here. Can you guys see what we're seeing here? And it's just like they sound like they're just in awe of whatever they're watching. And, you know, they're acting to an extent. Like, they don't – I'm sure that they're not really freaking out that badly – except for some rare occasions, but I think that that's honestly been, like, it's been an understated point. Like, Tom Phillips and Byron, they just sound like, sometimes they're just arguing with each other, and it's like, why are you guys even talking about this crap when you could be talking about a match?
Not to mention, they sound the same, so it sounds like he's arguing with himself.
Yeah, just like, it's sort of like me whenever I'm recording a podcast.
And that's a good point that you make, Des, as somebody who is blind. The commentary, I would assume, is very important to wrestling.
It's all I got, baby. It's all I got.
What is it that, what fills it out for you? What do you look for, and what is it that enhances your experience the most?
Well, what really helps for me is when they actually talk about the match, and I don't mean just say like, oh, he slapped him, then he slapped him back, then he slapped him again. I just mean like, explain what's happening. Give me an idea of the dynamic of the story that's being told instead of arguing about your Twitter followers or this tout or whatever. Remember tout?
Or how to download the goddamn WWE app.
My God,
remember
they would
those?
Argue about that in the main event. You don't know how to download it. Oh, you don't. What? There's wrestling happening.
And then, who do you like right now, Des? Who does a good job? If you built a dream team right now for you, of commentators, who would you have?
I think I have it in NXT with Mauro Ranallo and Nigel McGuinness. And if if Percy Watson just like, you know, decided to sleep in one day and miss work, I would be totally cool with that.
Percy, have you ever noticed how he just like, they straight up stop talking to that guy sometimes. And he just like stays stone silent. And then it'll be like them talking about a match. And then all of a sudden Percy goes, this is crazy.
Yeah. I feel like with them, I imagine that, I don't even know if they show them on camera a lot, but I imagine them like whenever Percy interjects, they just look at each other and roll their eyes and just keep going.
So for everybody, who is their favorite commentator of all time? I mean, I love, I would have to say, if I were building a dream team, mm-hmm. I would probably have Jim Ross on play-by-play, and I put Corey Graves on color commentary.
Oh, Corey Graves is doing great.
Corey Graves sells me on everything that's going on. His stuff during, like, I love watching Titus Worldwide because he's the one who starts bringing in all the statistics that Dana Brooke's been compiling.
Yeah, and he sells, like, Corey knows how to sell the hell out of anyone's gimmick. Like, nobody is more on board with Rusev Day than him. Like, he'll go, he'll just, Byron, what's your birthday? Nope, not anymore. It's Rusev Day. And just, like, throwing things like that out there are just great. Like, so I feel like, yeah, Corey would definitely be up there as someone I feel like I would need to have, and oddly as someone who does, I think, really well in a three-person booth. But I'd also, I put Mauro on play-by-play just because I love, even though people roll their eyes at, like, his hip-hop reference, I think it's pretty great. And one of my personal favorites was, if you go back and watch the AJ versus Cena match at SummerSlam, when Cena's got AJ up on his shoulders, you hear Mauro go, "Nothing can stop him. He's all the way up." And then he, "Oh, Avalanche!" Yeah. I'm like, "That's pretty good. That's funny." Those would be my two top.
Death.
Oh man. Definitely, I think for color, I would really want Josh Barnett on there. He's one of the guys who I think is super underrated as a color commentator because he's really good at not just like not just adding humor to a match, but explaining why this move hurts.
Yeah.
And I love that.
That's great.
And maybe it's more, you know, conducive to a product like New Japan, which is the best comparatively of everything out there.
Sure.
But he's, you know, maybe in WWE it wouldn't work so good. But yeah, it would definitely be Josh Barnett. And then I guess like on the play-by-play side, I was going to say Mauro Ranallo, but then I realized that was the team. So that team did exist.
So your dream came true.
Yeah, it did. But I guess maybe even like if we could go way back into the well and like do commentators of the past, the recently departed Lance Russell, I think, was always a really great, like not so much at explaining moves, but at just making you feel like you're watching this with a friend who's really into the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and shout out, while we're talking about favorite teams, shout out to back in the days of WWECW, the team of Matt Stryker and Todd Grisham. I feel like they were, for a while, they were the only thing that made that show worth watching as it was kind of time. Like on its death knell of like people, you know, if it was clear WWE was trying to phase it out. But Stryker, even now when he's on Lucha, he still does he's really great at like giving you little wrestling factoids as you're watching the whole time, or like whenever someone does a move, like I think when one time when Jericho got on Big Show's shoulder, he was like, "Oh wow, the old Andre and Snuka routine," like just little things like that. He had such like a great encyclopedic knowledge of everything that was going on that I think really helped contextualize everything that they were doing on the shows.
And speaking of a great encyclopedic knowledge with wrestling commentators, I think we can't do it without shouting out Excalibur from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, who does he's got a great mind for remembering spots like that from the old days.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things, those little things really color a match very, very nicely. I even like what Jonathan Coachman's been bringing lately.
Yes. Yeah.
In terms of, you know, his first run, he was a backstage interviewer. That was, you know, that was how I watched him. And then when he was on the commentary team, it just didn't work. They tried to make him too much of a character.
Yeah.
Now
I'm the coach.
Exactly. Yeah, but now he's been legitimized by ESPN, which we talked about again a little bit last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he actually adds something to a three-man booth. It makes sense for him to be there.
Totally.
He brings it a different flavor.
I'll never thought Michael Cole is as outside of his awful heel turn, which the less said about that, the better.
Right.
It's like I've never thought he was as bad as some people thought he was. I thought he was really a fine commentator. When he gets into it, he does a good job.
I want to talk about Jerry the King Lawler for a second.
Oh, Christ.
It's hard to have a conversation about commentators without him.
Oh, puppies.
The puppies and the look at this aside.
Wow.
He did color commentary for a very long time. He is like the Mickey Mouse of wrestling, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Kind of sound like.
Oh, gosh. Puppies, Pluto.
Look at those puppies.
Oh, look at the puppies.
My wife is 17. What actually worked about him as a color commentator for you, if anything at all? Or was he just a product of the time in which he worked most predominantly?
God, when he stopped being stupid, he was actually decent. Like, if you want an example of a well-done Jerry the King Lawler match, go back and watch Michaels versus Flair at WrestleMania 24, I want to say it was.
The one that made us all cry.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that match to me is a great example of them staying quiet and not saying words when it was important to just let them let people hear what the wrestlers were saying and just reacting to it. So like when you when they do the replay, you see you hear Jerry go, "Oh, and JR, can you read lips? Look at this. I'm sorry. I love you." It was really good. Gave it some great gravitas. So yeah, Jerry, when he wasn't being like, you know, that 23-year-old who was still going to college parties, was great. It was just he was too often that 23-year-old that was still going to college parties.
Yeah, I think he comes from Memphis, and Memphis is the land of shtick. And I think that's what he pulled off most of the time, which is why I think heel Jerry Lawler on commentary was always infinitely better than babyface Jerry Lawler, because I felt like babyface Jerry Lawler never had anything to add.
Right. Yeah.
Let's talk about two guys who I think might be the best two-man team in history, that being Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, God, just classic.
Does it get any better? I know Ross and Lawler is classic. Yeah, that, will you get out of here?
Yeah, that's so great.
Does it get any better than the two of them as a team? I mean, Ventura was also a great color commentator with Vince McMahon, but that Monsoon and Heenan team, there was magic there.
Yeah.
And the thing with him and Monsoon is he knew just how to needle the straight man Monsoon into giving a great reaction.
Yeah.
That was the best. And that, you know, he did that to Tony Schiavone too, and they hated each other. But
One thing we get a lot on TV is wrestlers doing commentary. CM Punk was known to do it a lot, as well as Randy Savage, who actually was a color commentator for a couple of years back in the day. Probably the best example of this now would be Kevin Owens. Here's a clip.
Why are you looking at me, Baron Corbin, with such intensity in your eyes? Am I supposed to be intimidated? Oh, no. Corbin, if you're looking for your hairline, it's on top of your head, by the way.
That's so great. I love it. Great stuff.
Oh, the one night that I had to be at live SmackDown.
You can get those headphones that they sell. I want to listen to this live. Yeah. That's happening.
When his career in the ring is over, should this be his next step?
Oh, my God. I hope so.
It would be great.
Please.
It would be great.
Right? We're begging for it. If you've got any thoughts on WWE's commentary or Kevin Owens' future, you can let him know and let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. He's Fight Owens Fight on Twitter if you just want to go tell him there.
Yes, he is.
And then he'll just yell at you and call you a dummy.
Don't tell him we sent you.
Don't tell him we sent you. Tell him Julian sent you. When we come back, we'll have three things from the world of wrestling that you should know about. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Max FunCon tickets are on sale now at maxfuncon.com. Watch stand-up comedy on a mountain. Roll out of bed after a dance party to see a live podcast taping. Take classes from amazing teachers with the most supportive group of people you'll ever meet. Make a bunch of friends and eat a ton of s'mores. Come to Max FunCon at Lake Arrowhead, California, the second weekend of June for friendship, comedy, and creativity. Get your ticket now at maxfuncon.com.
To Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by
Julian Burrell
and
Des Delgadillo.
Every week we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. Well, there's no Danielle here, so my expectation is that we actually put over three damn things. Julian, what is the one thing you're going to put over? I know it's going to be more than one thing.
Okay, well, one thing. What
you can put over.
I'll put a second thing. Okay.
Show.
One thing that I'll say: everybody go see Coco on digital and Blu-ray now if you haven't seen it already, because there's actually some really great little wrestling nods if you're a fan of old school lucha libre. I think you'll have a lot of fun with that movie, and it's also great if you want to cry. But the real thing I want to put over is there was this really great song that was put on YouTube and on Twitter. I'm going to link to it in the show notes of this. So if you're listening on your phone or anywhere, you can find the link there. I'll have their name there because I'm sorry I don't have it right on me, but it'll be there because it was really great. And it's all about Mr. Braun Strowman, who we talked about a little bit today, and it was absolutely amazing. So if we could just go ahead and play that, I think it speaks for itself just fine.
Never made it as a wide here. I couldn't cut it as the guy in a sheet mask, so I shaved the sides of my head. I went to Raw and kicked a bunch of ass, and this is how I got over. And this is how I got over playing a stand-up bass. This is how I got over getting these hands in the face. Had a feud with Roman.
Oh, God.
I threw a chair at his head.
It's like it's actually the creator, the guy who made it.
Hope you enjoy your journey.
I think Ron retweeted it too. So Ron liked it.
This has gone proper. This has gone properly viral, so I'm really glad it's going to be attention. And this is the only time a Nickelback will be acceptable on this podcast. Mark my words.
Thank you.
Better hope so. Dez, what about you? What do you want to put over?
So I'm going back to what we're really doing and talking about the joy of professional wrestling. Mm. Last night, on Tuesday night, I went to SmackDown Live at the Staples Center, and it was a pretty uneventful show, I won't lie. But one thing I really loved is watching these kids around me get so immersed in the action in front of them. I was sitting in front of a mom and a dad who didn't really want to be there, but they're there with their kid. They're there with their little boy. And I just loved how by the end of the show, by the end of the AJ Styles John Cena match, dad was on his feet by himself, screaming his head off at the great match he just saw. And it was great bonding time with his little boy. And after the show, I met a little Indian boy who was so sad that Jinder Mahal lost.
Aww.
And he ripped up his Jinder Mahal sign. And yeah, I was like, you're the one. You're him. You're the one Jinder Mahal fan.
Not anymore.
Okay. He got a John Cena shirt, so he's fine.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about him losing that often. You were born in the wrong time, dude. He used lose like never.
I want to put over the ladies, in particular Alexa Bliss, who in winning the Elimination Chamber on Sunday night really won for every woman who's ever been in a WWE ring. And her promo after the match was exceptional. Here's a little clip.
And this just proves that you can be whatever you want to be. So dare to dream and dream big. And, sorry. I'm looking out here at every one of you, and the reality is that none of you will ever accomplish any of your dreams.
Boom, boom. Dunk on him.
Wow. Gosh.
Yeah, Alexa.
That great.
So good.
That great gray silver haircut. That's very, very chic, Alexa. I loved it.
Yeah, killer. Great heartfelt promo followed by the perfect heel promo.
Yeah.
You the best. That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts were Julian Burrell and Dez Delgadillo, along with me, Hal Lublin. I want to put over very quickly, my day job is working at swagbucks.com, which is a reward site. And for the past 2 months, I've been helping put together a live trivia app called Swag IQ. I write it. I produce it. I'm the Julian Burrell of Swag IQ. We've been live for just under a week. If you go to playswagiq.com, you can download it, win real cash, and I work in a ton of special Easter eggs for people who are fans of the different things that I do. It's a real good time. Takes 15 minutes. Mm. Do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody else have anything they want to plug real quick?
Basically, everybody just go follow at Tights Fights. I have a lot of fun live tweeting the shows, mostly whenever I'm not super busy or anything, but still, it's really fun to put out the gifts and talk with you guys on there. So if you could just go follow at Tights Fights, you'll have a grand old time. And yeah, I think it's going to be super great.
I got nothing.
All right, fair enough.
At Dez Delgadillo.
Yes.
There you go.
You can find nothing at Dez Delgadillo and discuss nothing with him. He's happy to discuss nothing with you. Our producer is Julian. He only does everything. Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher, sitting in on the outside of the booth today. Woohoo. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. We're putting him over for that. Mike will be back soon, we promise. Yeah. We did not fire him, in case you were wondering.
That theme music has been very wrong. There's not a guy named Hal. There's a guy named Hal, but no Danielle or Mike this week.
That's right. The song is a lie. We need to change it immediately. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. Throw us a follow, throw us a join when you can. And if you love the show, take the extra step, hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and leave us a nice review. Or you can do it on Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast, give us a good rating so other people on that service can find us too. Ooh. Thank you so much to all the Maximum Fun members who throw a little money our way every month and keep the lights on when we're in the booth. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestlin'.
Ties and Bites Podcast. Ties and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.